This is Scripture on Creation with Dr. Ben Scripture, discussing creation, science, and the Bible. With a Master of Divinity, a PhD in biochemistry, and over 25 years of experience studying and teaching creation, he is well equipped to address questions about creation with sound, biblical, and scientific answers. The Scripture on Creation radio program is also available on our website and as a free podcast, so you can listen anytime. If you have a question for Dr. Scripture, or if you would like to know more about his radio and conference ministry, contact information follows the program. And now, here is Scripture on Creation.
The following is a rebroadcast of a program which Dr. Scripture thinks is important to consider for those who share the gospel with unbelievers. The program is entitled Devotion to Evolutionism, a Major Hindrance to Belief in the Gospel. Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, you recently began a new series on our Scripture on Creation radio program entitled Scripture on the Creator. And you began this new series, as you put it, at the end.
Yes, Scott. I think it's fascinating that the Bible begins and ends with descriptions of God which communicate very clearly his claim to be the creator of heaven and earth and everything in them. In my mind, it leaves the impression that he really wants us to not forget that.
Yes, and to not forget to share that claim which God makes concerning his identity with those around us, especially in the context of evangelism.
That's right. In a previous program, we had looked at a couple of examples of how Paul shared the gospel with the Gentiles in Asia and Europe on his early missionary journeys. Those people were pagans with no biblical background like the Jews had had that Paul initially went to, and I submit in large measure our society here in the U.S. fits the description of biblically ignorant pagans more than biblically knowledgeable Jews who simply do not know about Jesus Christ. And so starting with identifying the God of the Bible as the creator is a great place to begin when attempting to share the gospel in our culture.
And Dr. Scripture, it also seems that making the connection between the God of the Bible and creation will result in a different mindset. When we talk about the need for repentance, which Jesus demands, as well as the forgiveness of sins that Jesus freely gives, through faith in his death on the cross as payment for our sin, and his resurrection.
Yes, that's not an easy message to share as it's God. It's easier to talk about the truth that God loves you, an absolute, a truth that believers have the joy and responsibility of sharing too. But as we look at what the Bible says about the Lord and how the gospel was shared by those evangelists recorded for us in the New Testament, we dare not ignore the claims God makes concerning sin and judgment. And frankly, those truths that we are sinners and God will judge all sin are more often associated with the claims he makes throughout the Bible because he is the creator and thus the owner and authority over what he has made, which of course includes you and me, includes human beings. So Scott, with those thoughts in mind, I wanted to share a letter I got from a listener. His name is Matthew Vanderwell from Allen, Texas. And he voiced in this letter some of these ideas we've just been discussing. I was very encouraged by his thoughts, and I wanted to share them with our listeners on the program. So go ahead and read this letter, Scott.
Okay. It says, Dr. Scripture, I just finished listening to your latest podcast for the second time.
Wow, isn't that great? He listened to it twice.
And given what he's going to talk about, it's likely he was listening to the program titled Creation and Evangelism.
Yeah, well, he was referring to that. I talked about that just a little bit earlier.
He goes on to say, God has really been maturing me in my evangelism, but I have also struggle greatly with how the church today teaches evangelism. We seem to be taught to go make friends with everyone, show them God's love and God's love only, wait to see if they respond, and if they do, get them to recite the believer's prayer, and you have completed your task. I find a completely different story told throughout the Bible. I see stories of men going into some of the most hedonistic cities and confronting their evil. I see John the Baptist yelling at the top of his lungs to repent. The kingdom of God is near. I see Jesus constantly telling the people they are an evil and perverse generation. Yet, in today's evangelism, repenting is nowhere to be found. The focus seems to be entirely on God's love. Have we lost some of that boldness to confront sin in our evangelism? My answer is yes. I am not suggesting we limit expressing God's love in our evangelism. That would be a complete misunderstanding of the cost of that rugged cross. I am suggesting that repentance and sin need to be equally expressed in our conversations as we evangelize. Failure to do this shows a complete misunderstanding of that old rugged cross. Keep up the great work. I try to remember you in my prayers and ask that you do the same. In his service, Matt.
Well, again, I want to thank Matt very much for his letter and his prayers. Isn't it great to know that people are praying for us? It's such an encouragement. And I also appreciate the thoughts he expressed in this letter. The gospel is definitely a bad news, good news message.
And it's hard to balance those two.
Yeah, it is. And when you start out with bad news, you know, you get people turned off a lot of times. Yeah. The Bible says the gospel is offensive. Well, the part about God loving me isn't offensive. The part about, you know, God is going to judge me, that's what offends people. So it definitely is a bad news, good news message. And when we tell someone they need to be saved, it has little impact if they don't acknowledge what they need saving from, and then that they be willing to turn from their deadly way of life. You see, the same God who said, "He so loved the world that he gave his only son," is the creator who basically said way back at the beginning, "If you disobey me, you will surely die."
You know, Dr. Scripture, even embedded within that famous verse about the love of God, John 3:16, is the warning of consequences of sin. Quote, "For whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life," end quote.
That's right. And so, Scott, making people aware of the reality of coming judgment as revealed in the book of Revelation may not be very pleasant, but it is the truth. And the more a person realizes that there is no escape from the Almighty Creator, the more likely they will be to submit to his word. Unless, of course, they insist on hanging on to their self-deceptive pride, and there's a lot of people like that, you know?
Millions, yes.
But if they understand why and to whom they're submitting, I think that they've made a first crucial step. But so often, those who pridefully refuse to submit to God do so by justifying their rebellion with supposed explanations which argue there is no creator, there is no God. And therefore, the Bible isn't his word, but merely the fallible words of men. Of course, those explanations I'm talking about very much revolve around the theory of evolution, which for so many in our modern world is their religion. It is a humanistic, materialistic-based way of life and adamantly adhered to by many, especially highly educated people. Although by no means do only people with degrees follow evolutionism. But I've said many a time, you know, one of the biggest stumbling blocks I would submit to accepting the Bible, the Word of God, is education. And I could hear somebody howling, "Oh, so see, of course, only dumb people, only uneducated people are going to be stupid enough and not reasoning enough to accept the Bible." That is not what I'm saying at all, by any means. God is absolutely not against education, not against higher education, but the kinds of really brainwashing that we get in our higher institutions in the United States of America and really across the world, but I would say focused in the U.S., is so anti-God and is so one-sided in its presentation of evolution and things like that, that it produces a great stumbling block for those people to then come in childlike simplicity, in childlike faith to accepting the Word of God, especially accepting salvation. And so very often it's those highly educated ones who will not only not accept what the Bible says, but will tend to aggressively argue with anyone who would teach what the Word of God says. You know, Scott, I tried to make that point in the program that we referred to earlier, Creation and Evangelism. But have you ever had what you thought was a good idea or a helpful insight from the Bible, but when you tried to share it, you felt like you didn't do a very good job of explaining it?
All the time.
I bet you that. Oh, that's happened to you too, huh? I was going to say, you probably never have that problem.
All the time.
Well, I felt that way after talking about how some of the Jews rejected Paul's message in that program. compared to many of the Gentiles who received the gospel with excitement. The comparison I was trying to make was that the Jews, who so strongly opposed Paul's message, in part at least, did so because they were so committed to their religious system, even though the evidence about Jesus Christ was right there before them in the Old Testament that they said they believed. But the pagans, on the other hand, who weren't committed to anything related to the Old Testament, gladly accepted what both the Old and New Testament gospel proclaimed. And I see that same kind of response today as we share the message of God with unbelievers. Those who are committed evolutionists adamantly oppose the gospel and anything else the Bible says. They'll argue day and night. Believe me, I know. Yeah. But the unbeliever who isn't committed to evolutionism often accepts the foundational premise that God is the creator. And from there, we can explain what the Bible says about that creator and the issues that stand between him and his creation. And so, we're going to look at some more of what the Bible, that is, Scripture, says about the Creator, keeping in mind that these are things which are very appropriate to share with an unbeliever as we share the gospel.
And an unbeliever who isn't necessarily a committed evolutionist.
Yes, that person will simply argue with you about evidences they're convinced disprove the Bible. And in those situations, you need to be sensitive to the Spirit's guidance as to how much to get into debating with them, because often it's purely counterproductive and a waste of time. I have to say it that way. So here's what the New Testament even says about that. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25, "For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Then verse 28 says, "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful." Whew. "And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice with them."
Ouch.
Wow. Does that describe anything we see in our society today? And there is another statement, as we've been talking about, the Creator in the New Testament. That book of Romans, which is the most thorough and detailed exposition of the gospel in the Bible, right there in chapter 1, starts early on talking about what? The Creator. We read verse 25 and on. But what does it say even before that? Let me go back to verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. It says, quote, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." These next few verses that then follow, when I read them, Scott, I just can't help but think that it was like Paul knew what the theory of evolution was going to propose and what it would be like in our modern day. Listen to this. "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures." And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed the program. If you have comments or questions you'd like Dr. Scripture to address, you can contact him by sending an email to scripture@scriptureoncreation.org or call 574-551-1524. Scripture on Creation is a listener-supported ministry. Your support through prayer and giving is greatly appreciated. You can learn more about our ministry on the website, scriptureoncreation.org. You can also listen to past episodes of the program, which are archived on the website, or by subscribing to the free podcast.